Okay, good morning. Let's begin. Okay, we're up to Perek Yutes. Perek Chof. We're up to right after the dream, Kechalom Yo'of, Pasek Tes. Okay, Pasek Tes. Ayin She Zofatu V'Lososiv Le'oide Tishurenu L'Koyma. Iyov is Tsefar Hanamasi is continuing to tell Iyov to tell him that basically you're a Rosh. He's hinting to him that you deserve what you get. And he's describing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does conduct his world with Hashkacha Pratis, and if you study the world, you will discover that the Rasha does not succeed. The Rasha is utterly destroyed. His success is short-lived. It's only recent that he is successful, and he has no hope. And he gives all different examples of different metaphors of describing how the success of the Rasha does not last very long. Yesterday, the last thing we discussed is they compare the success of a Rasha to a dream. Just like the dream, when the person wakes up, disappears, and it's easily pushed away. Likewise, the success of a Rasha is pushed away easily and it disappears like a dream. Now he says that the Ayin Shezofatu, the human beings that once upon a time would look to gaze. The word Shezofatu means to look, to gaze. Velo sos, the time will come when they will no longer see this Rosh, this individual. Velo otish shirenu mikomo, and not only that, his mokoim, the place, his environment where he once lived will also not be seen by mankind. It will be completely obliterated. Pasuk Tes Nimitzudos, Ayin Shezofatu, Ha'ayin Asheru Asahu Me'oz, the eye that in the past saw this little person, Lo Sosif Od Leros, when Lerosa will no longer continue to see the Russia, and not only will the Russia be destroyed, his Mokoim will be destroyed, the Anshe Mekoimo Lo Yeruhu Od, according to the Mitzudos, he's saying, now like I said, he says that Mekoimo mean the Anshe Mekoimo, the people from his place will no longer see this Russia. The Rashi says, just the word Ra'asuhu, same thing, just it means to see. Now, I told you a homiletic interpretation of the pasuk, not like the Mitzudos, that v'lo'od tishurenu mikomo, they will no longer see mikomo, means his place, the place of the Rasha. Again, according to the Mitzudos, the word mikomo is referring to the anshei mikomo, the people of the community where the Rasha once upon a time lived and spent his time, will no longer, those people no longer see him. But you can interpret it as a reference to meaning that his impact, his environment. Like we say, this is one of the interpretations of by a person who's sitting shiva. We say to him, "Hamokom yinachem eschem b'soshar avelitzion." Why do you say hamokom? So there are 100 interpretations. But one interpretation is that we tell the person, the avelim, don't feel bad that the neshama has left. He left over a mokom. Every person has an impact on his environment, on his society, on his friends. So when you look at his family, you look at the community, you look at his seviva, you look at the impact that this individual has had upon society, that's his mokom. The mokom should serve as a comfort for his departure. So here we're talking about the Rasha, we're saying the same exact thing. The Rasha, he's a goner, he's neshama. His body has been obliterated. Not only that, the obliteration of the rush is so complete that even the impact he left upon this world will also be wiped off the face of the earth. There won't be him and there won't be a makom. No one will be able to say to his children, his family, "Hamakom yirachem eschem," because just like he's gone, his makom, the makom that he left over in this world. Right, just like he is gone, his makom is gone. There will be no comfort for the people that try to follow in his ways. Okay, pasuk.
Did you cover the midrashic part of this?
On this particular pasuk, ayin. Yes, it's psukim with Haman. Yes, I didn't really, because I didn't have the yeses. I wanted to go vayitu. I didn't really cover this about Haman. Haman, yeah. The ayin also.
Yeah.
Okay, so it talks about those psukim. We'll go back very quickly. Those psukim, im yale la shamayim Si'o v'rosho lo'ov yagia, ki gelalo l'netzach yoved ro'ov yomru ayo. We just discussed from Rav. Okay, I discussed the Gemara. It was Rav. It was not Rebbe. Rav said that when he walked into the room and the entire yeshiva stood in his honor, he would think these psukim. He said to himself, even though at this point in time my success has reached the highest heavens, my head is in the cloud, ki gelaloi l'netzach yoved, I should not let this success get to my head, because ultimately I'm going to die and no one's going to remember me. Okay, so the Mechol is referring to a medrash that talks about Haman. There are a number of midrashim. Let's see what we got over here. Okay, let's see. Davar Acher. Let's see. Okay, this is in Aramaic. Okay, I don't have the Americ. Okay, so maybe we'll do this another time, because I didn't really prepare it.
Okay.
Okay. It does talk about the year. It alludes to the success of Haman and his ultimate downfall. So let's now go to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud describes the collateral damage of the Rasha. Banav Yiratsu Dalim V'yodav Toshevna Ono. The Rasha, when his discovered, his evil is discovered, he will then, and let's assume that the Rasha dies, the next generation will have to pay for his mistakes. His children, Banov, the children of the Rasha, the day will come when they, Yiratsu Dalim, will have to appease the poor. Who are the poor? The people who the Rasha exploited. The victims of the horrible acts of the Rasha will have to be appeased by the children of the Rasha, the Yadav. Now, the other means, in the event that the Rasha is still living, he's still alive, Toshevna Ono, he himself will have to return Ono, meaning their wealth, the power that he stole from them. He took advantage. Pasigin Mitsudos, Banov, his children, Yiratsu Dalim, Bal Karchach, Yiratsu V'yifaisu Es Hadalim. The children will have no choice but to appease the poor. Who are the poor? The poor here refers to the victims. Al hagezel asher gozal mehem avihem. For the theft, to make restitution for the theft that their fathers stole. The Yadav. O b'chayev. Let's say the Rosh himself is still alive. Yutash koichoy will have his hands will be weakened. And he'll have no choice but to pay back the theft which he stole with his own hands. Right, so
is this a specific accusation?
No, he's just describing them. He's describing.
When you're arraigning somebody on robbery or something like that.
No, he's just saying what happens to the Rasha. The Rasha, the basic gist of Tzofar is that a Rasha, there is Hashgacha. And if we study history, we see that the success of a Rasha is short-lived. And when he is destroyed, when he's put down, there is no zecher of him. And furthermore, his children are harassed and are held accountable for the sins of their father. And he's intimating that, Eov, you are a Rasha. If this is what is happening to you, if you are suffering, it must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed holds you to be a Rasha. And stop denying the fact that you have done an Avera. Now, by the way, one important point that I saw yesterday is that this is the last speech of Tzofar. We're going to have the next Prakim, a third round of speeches where Eliphaz and Bildad will once again speak up and present new arguments to Eov, and Eov will respond. But in the third round, Tzofar does not speak. So in other words, this section is Tzofar's parting words. He's leaving, this is like his goodbye to Eov. Eov, I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Now, I don't have all the details, but in this response, if we look back in the past parakim, when Eliphaz and Bildad responded to Eov, they spoke in the plural, we. They kept on saying the word we. because until that point in time they were speaking as a group. It appears, this leads to the way Rabbi Eisenman explains this parak, is that at this point in time Tzofar wants to break with the other two friends. He's not speaking on behalf of his friends Eliphaz and Bildad. He's only speaking on behalf of himself, and that's why in this section he does not use the word we. He's addressing Eev all alone, and also it's the last, is his farewell to Eev, because he will not appear and respond in the third round of debate at a later point in time. It's parting, it's his last words. But here he's the basic gist of what he's saying, and this how it's at least explained by the Besudas, and will be summarized at the very end of the parak, is that Eiv, you deny Hashkocha Pratis. Tzofar says it's not true. There is Hashkocha Pratis. There is no such thing as Rasha Vitoivlo. The Rasha ultimately is destroyed, and he disappears, and his children have to pay for his mistakes. And that's what Pasuk Yud is telling us. One of his own children, Yiratzu Dalim, will have to appease and make restitution to the poor that his father exploited, the Yadav. And in the event that the father, the Rosh himself, is still alive, then he will have to use his own hands, Toshevna, he will have to restore the theft, Ono. Ono means literally power. In this context, it means money. Money is what gives a person power. Hono, wealth with a hay. As look in the Mitzudos Tzion, it says, Ono hagezel asher b'koach, asher v'ein, it's another pasuk where the word onim there also refers to the wealth that came through theft, exploitation. Pasuk Yud, Rashi says here already a medrash. This is referring to medrash. He has here a long medrash on the next page in my sefer. But the basic idea is al anshe sedom ne'amar ma'anezo. This pasuk refers to the people of Sedom. Shahayu gazlonim v'achzorim alaniim. They were robbers. They stole from society. V'yadav and their own hands toshevna chomos kapov, the theft of their hands. Ono koach onso, the force of their crimes.
So why is he comparing him to subconscious learning?
He's saying that if you're suffering, it must be that you're like from the people of Sodom. You must be a Gilgal.
He said all along. He said, you know, I didn't do anything. If I did anything, tell me.
Sofar says you're dead wrong. Sofar says to you, if you're dead wrong, you did do something wrong because from the fact that you punished, the proof is in the pudding. It must be that you have committed a crime. Okay, now this pasuk refers to the Rashi is just alluding. It's a very long medrash. A very long medrash which basically interprets this entire section all the way until the end of the parak in reference to the people, the Anshei Sodom. Royim v'chatam l'Hashem od medrash Tanchuma. Tanchuma Parshas Vayera elaborates upon the sins of Sodom, and Rashi just points us in that direction. But of course, if you want to say that Eev lived during the time of Avraham, then maybe Eev was a member of one of the five cities of Sodom.
It's not necessary.
Okay, it's not necessary, and they applied. Okay, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, let's go for the pasuk Yud Aleph. Atzmosav molu alumav. His bones are filled with sin. There are two different interpretations for the word alumav. We'll see in a few moments. The imo, and with those sins, al ofar tishkov, he will lie upon the earth in his grave. Let's look at Yud Aleph, at least according to the Mitzudos, Atzmosav, Lefi, Sheatzmosav, Nimlu Mechatos Ni'urav. According to the Mitzudos, the word alumav means youth. Okay, it means, look in the Mitzudos, Tzion.
Elam
is a young man. Look in the Mitzudos Sion Pasuk Yud Aleph Alumav Neurav Kmo Ben Mizeh Ha'Elam. Who is this young man? From where is he from? From which family? Where does he come from? Elam. So what does it mean here about Alumav? It means the Chatas Neurim. It means the sins that a person commits when he is young. Young people don't think about din v'cheshbon and have a tendency to do more averos. So he says to Eov, or he says about the Rasha. And the Rasha here, where the Rasha is none other than, he's alluding that Eov, you are the Rasha. Your bones, you are saturated, your essence is filled with sin. Not just sin, but sins that go back to your youth. Atzmoisav malu alumav, and guess what? The imo, and your whole life, the Rasha does not do tshuva for these crimes the remainder of his adult life, and therefore when he goes in the grave, when he's laid to rest on the offar, when he tishkav ala offar, the sins accompany him. They accompany him to the grave, and there in the grave, in the Olam Emes, he will have to give din v'cheshbon and suffer the consequences. So one more time, the words of the Metzitzin Pasuk Yidalef, Atzmosav, Lefish Atzmosav, Nimlu Mechatois Nu'urav, V'tishkav Imo al he'ofar, and the sins will accompany him to the grave. Rotzo Leimar, Lo Shav Mehem, the Rasha does not do tshuva for his sins, Ad kiyomus v'yikbar, until he dies and is buried. Rashi, atzmosav molu alumav, koach naroisav, the strength of his youth, narusav, v'imo al ofar tishkov, kiyomus pisom imkocho, he will die suddenly with his strength. So Rashi is not learning like the Mitzudos. Rashi, the Mitzudos also interprets the word alumav in reference to youth, but it refers to, he's adding words into the pasuk, he refers to the sins of the youth. Rashi is different. Rashi says that the Rasha so far is making an observation. I have studied history and I have taken note that the Rishonim do not live long lives. Rishonim die young. So Eov, don't tell me that there's no Hashkacha Pratis Rasha V'Tovlo. It's not true. Look around. Look at Rishon that die in the prime of their life. Atzmosav, his bones, Molu Alumav, his bones are filled with vigor, with youth, with strength, the strength of youth. And what happens to this evil man, the Imo? And with that vigor, suddenly Hashem takes their lives, they die, Al-Ofar Tishkov, they die young. So he's basically saying that's not so. Rishon, they get what they deserve early in their lifetimes. And by the way, just some foreshadowing, in the next parak of Eov is going to say to Tzofar, I don't know where you come from, but for as far as I see it, the Rishon have very successful lives, and their success spans generations. So there seems to be a very great conflict between, disparity between the way Tzofar Hanamasi looks at the world and the way Eov looks at the world. Here in these psukim here, he's saying it very, very explicitly, it's going to Rashi, is that Tzofar says the Rasha does not live a very long life. The Rasha is destroyed, is obliterated, and his success is short-lived. What?
I don't know if the actuaries would agree with that.
Like we learned yesterday that the Rasha's success is recent and he has no hope. He's the Chonif, his hope is only for a moment. Eov says in the next parak, I don't know what you're talking about. I see families of Rishayim, they're wicked, they exploit the masses, and they're living for many generations, and they die they live long lives. How many times we are in the news about Nazi war criminals? And they're 100, they're in their 90s, and they live there healthy, and they have no digest, and they're living in Argentina, they're living there, they seem to live, some of them seem to live very long lives. And that's what Eve is going to say in the next parak, but here, at least so far, he doesn't know these type of people. Maybe it's a hashkacha pratis, a Kadosh Baruch Hu only causes you to see certain things. It only allows you to be, to witness things which would shape your attitude towards the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
One of the interpretations is, you know, sometimes you like to attribute something and say God is punishing you.
Yeah.
You feel that it's happening. So, Parpanel says in Telchu Mikeri, if you start to say, no, it's just that bad luck, or it has nothing to do with God, that's what in Telchu Mikeri. You should recognize the fact that you're being punished by me, You know, he said, even Paro says, Hashem HaTzadik after the Dever, Paro even said, Ani Yavami Horshoyim. He said, if you're not going to be at least like Paro, recognize who's giving you all these problems, then you got a problem.
You have to at least, okay.
You have to realize that, yes, you are being punished by me.
Okay.
Coming directly.
Okay, let's go for the Pasuk.
That's also a special case.
Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis.
Most people don't get a direct message.
Imtamtik b'fiv ra'ah. If it's sweet, we're continuing to describe the nature of the rasha. Imtamtik b'fiv ra'ah. If it's sweet in his mouth, evil. Yachidena, he hides it. Yachidena means to deny. In this context, it means he keeps it hidden. Tachas lishono, under his tongue. In other words, he's a faker. A rasha will hide his deceit beneath his tongue and wait for the moment when he's able to exploit the poor. Let's see, Pasuk Yud Beis Mitzudos. Imtamte kasher moska b'fiv atzas rasha. It's sweet. A rasha thrives. He relishes his wickedness. V'hoysa kasher b'einav lasoysa. And it was kasher in his eyes to implement his evil plans. Oz he's clever to hide it, to conceal it. Underneath his tongue, lebal yoda lemi, no one should know about his evil plan. Ad asher osas osa, until he acts. So we're saying over here that the rasha, it's a very very powerful expression that the rasha, it's sweet. You ever meet people like that? That it's actually, there's like a ruach of rishis. They have like, I once knew someone like this. They have this, stay away. Like they actually, it's delicious. Evil is delicious. It's tamtik b'fiv ra'ah. It's sweet. He knows that in society,
like
forbidden fruit. Sweet. Evil is sweet. The average person doesn't find evil sweet. If they have to be evil, it's because of circumstance. They're desperate. They have to feed their children. They have no choice. They have to steal. They have to do things that they don't want to do. It's not sweet. They don't like to live these type of lives. But there are evil people out there that are sick, and it's sweet. And Yachidena, they recognize that it's not accepted in society to behave like this. So what they do is they hide it. They hide tachas l'shonu until they actually use their, they act upon their bring out the evil plans. Rashi pasuk yibes imtamtik. So he says kach vestai. That is a very powerful word. A veses. This word is used in reference to a nida, a woman. A woman has a cycle. So it's a biological cycle. It's part of her DNA. This is the way Hashem made a woman. Every 30 days, 28 days, 29 days, whatever the cycle is, she goes through a process. This is the nature. Kach vestoy shel rasha. This is the nature of an evil man. Im tamtik b'fiv ra'ah. If a rasha is, it's sweet, it's delicious to harm another person, but
the harming is the planning.
The planning, the entire process. The entire process of evil is sweet. It's pleasurable. The Eina Roya Lo Ata Shah Shatochol Shatochol, but the Rasha sees it's not the right time. I have a great plan, an opportunity to rob a bank, to cause a lot of people pain, but right now is not the right time. I will not succeed if I attempt to implement my plan at this moment. So what does he do? Yachidena tachas lishono. He hides it. He encrypts his plans with a secret encryption key. It's hidden underneath his tongue. Ad bo ho'eshet hatzliach, until there is an opportune moment to execute his plan. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Yachmol Oleho V'lo Yazvena. The Rasha loves his evil to the point where he has compassion upon it. When he has a great idea of how to exploit someone and he sees at this moment in time he's not going to succeed because there are too many security cameras, there are too many traps that are being set. So he says, what a shame. What a shame, such a beautiful plan. What?
It's Baltashchis.
Baltashchis to lose such an opportunity, such a brilliant plan to cause harm. So you know what? I'll shelve it. I'll shelve it. I'll put it aside. But I'll never forget this plan. Yachmo loleho v'lo yazvena. And he will not abandon it. V'yim no eno b'sochiko. And he will hold it back temporarily within his bosom, meaning deep down in his mind he will keep it there and wait for the proper moment. Let's see, Pasuk Gimel Mesudos. Yachmol meroiv ahavasola, due to his intense love for evil. Ki'ilu yachmol lech, it's as if he's sick. He's a psychopath, a meshugana. He as if he has compassion upon evil. V'lo yazvena umono, and he denies the miligaloisa, and he denies revealing his evil plan to the world until the right time. Umastira besoch keicha, umastira, and he hides the besoch yachikena. So the word yachidena is similar to the word above in Pasuk Pasuk Gibbeis. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the yim no ena. He hides it. I guess he's over here. He's translating the Mesudas Vim. That means he temporarily preserves the plan. He hides it. The yim no ena. He withholds it to be moin, to refuse. He restrains himself. In this context, it means that he hides the plan. But so chiko, inside of his body. Chiko literally means his bosom. But here it means
close to your
heart.
I think he puts it away to save it for another time and be able to do
an opportune moment.
Yes.
For an opportune moment.
He carries it in. He doesn't tell anybody what I got a good.
Okay, Pasuk Yudalit. Now he describes what happens to the Rasha. Okay, now he's changing gears. So far he's changing gears, and he's going to say the Rasha does himself in his poison. He's poisoned by his own. He's killed by his own poison. Lachmo b'meyov nepach. His bread in his own stomach is turned inside out. Miroras pisanim b'kibo. There is the bitterness of a snake is within him. He is describing, at least from the perspective of Tzofar. Tzofar had a very different view of life. Tzofar says, "I see wicked people, and I see that they suffer. At the end, is they suffer. They suffer very in unusual ways." Here he says, "They vomit." Food, the digestive system of a human being, the food doesn't, you don't regurgitate your food. The food goes in one way and goes out the other way. But a Rasha, he's punished where his food comes out the same way it came in. He vomits out his food. That is his punishment. His bread, b'me'av, while it's in his stomach, it's nepach. Instead of going out through the rectum, it goes up through the mouth. It reverses course and comes out of the mouth. He vomits. Miraras pisanim bikibo. It's as if in his stomach, his body is destroyed. There is poison of a snake. A pesen is a serpent. You'll step upon those creatures. Here it means that their poison is bikibo, and he'll die from their poison. Pasuk Yudal in the Mitzudos. Lachmo. V'hoyo gimula. What is the end of a Rasha? His end is asher ma'achol nepach b'meyav. His food is turned inside out. L'leches hopuch hepuch haminok. To go in the opposite direction. Ki toshuv l'tzeis derech hapeh b'hakoh. The food will come out of his mouth, will vomit his food. For he be care of bitno, and the food inside of his stomach is no different than kimoro shel nechashim, like poison of a snake. Uval korchach yakia derech hapeh, he will vomit out the food out of his mouth. Ki ef shel leechol oso, it's impossible for the food to be digested. The ratzolayva b'chol durochav hu nichshol hepech haminug. He's saying here, from his perspective in life, that everything the Rasha does leads to failure. Lamala miderech hateva.
Does he mean this literally, or is it
no,
symbolically?
No, symbolically, of course.
Sometimes you could say he has these ill-gotten gains, and it ends up that
he has to vomit it out. It comes out exactly. Yes. Pasuk Yudalid. Biyom lachmo v'meyav. Biyom ido. See, this is exactly what Rashi is addressing your point. On the day of his misfortune, on the day of his tragedy, when he's caught, nepach lim ruros pisonim, the food that he has swallowed, this theft that he has taken from his friends, turns into poison from a snake. Pasuk Tezvav. Chayil Bola.
Doesn't mean his holiday,
the day
he thinks.
Ido means the day.
It doesn't always mean the negative.
But I mean, here it means the day when he's caught. In the context of these psukim, it means that when his time comes, when his fortune runs out, the success of a rasha according to Tzofar does not last very long. Ultimately, the success comes to an end. And similarly, that's what it means of Yon. It means when his success is over, and it's now a day of reckoning, then all of the ill-gotten gain now turns into a source of bitterness for him. Pasuk Tezvav Chayil Bola, the wealth of theft which that he has swallowed, vayki enu mibitno. At this point in time, he vomits it out. It's vomited out of his stomach. Yorishenu kel. Kel here means simply Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam forces it out, pushes it out. The word yorishenu in this context means to push. Yerusha normally means to inherit. To bequeath. I direct, you push.
Also, Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael they're going that you will.
To drive out.
To drive out.
So here it means that's what it means over here. Yorishenu Kel HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drive out the ill gotten gain from his bank accounts back into the world where it came from. Pasuk Tezvav Chel Bola. Im kibola ha'oisher. The chel here means the wealth, the oisher, the object of his theft. Although he has swallowed the oisher, lo yiskayem biyado, it will not remain in his hands. Ki yaki oso, he will vomit it out. V'amokom yigorish ha'oisher mibitma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drive out the oisher from his beten, from his stomach. Pasuk Tezvav in Rashi, chel means mammon, it means the wealth. Pasuk Tezayin, roish pisanim yinok. He will nurse from the head of a snake. In other words, he's going to suck poison. Tahargeu l'shoin efe, the tongue of the efe is another serpent. These are two different types of serpents, two different types of snakes. The tongue of the Efe will bite him. Will kill him. Pasuk Tezayin, Rosh Pesanim, Yemar LeNafsho. He will say to himself, Ki ilu yinaku motzatz. When he realizes that now his doom is imminent, he will say about himself, Ki ilu yinaku motzatz eres nochash. It's as if he has sucked. He has nursed and sucked the poison of a snake. Shubifiv. The poison of a snake, shehu befiv sheberosh, which is in the mouth of the head, which is in the mouth of the head of the snake. So when it says over here the rosh over here means the tongue. According to the Mitzvot, we're adding in words into the pasuk. Rosh over here means the tongue. On the tongue of the pesen, there is poison. The tongue is located in the rosh of the pesanim. Yinok. This rosh, it's as if he is now sucking the tongue, the tongue which is found in the head of the snake. And then he repeats himself, the poetic repetition, Tarigeo Lashon Efe, he's now going to be killed by the tongue of this snake which is poisoned. Velosha, the tongue of the Efe, Tarigeo Barso, will kill him with injecting the poison into his body. Pasik Tes, there is no Rashi. Pasik,
there is one small one.
Tes Zayin Chel is Mamon, Efe Nochashof. Efe means a certain type of snake. Okay, Pasik Yud Zayin. Dr. Freeman, before you go, yeah, now, it's okay, sorry. Okay, Pasuk, Yud Zayin. Now he goes on to scribe. Now this is a fascinating Pasuk. Similarly, he just refers to that this Rosh will not see the good of life. He will not enjoy the Eretz Yisrael is called the Eretz Zavas Cholav Dvash. So this is a play, a takeoff on that concept. Al Yere Befalgos Nahare Nachale Dvash Vechema. This Rasha will die young, at least according to Rashi. Rashi learns he'll die in a young age. He will not see Befalgos. Falgos means the what's it called in English? The tribute, the river.
The tributaries?
Yeah. Say that word again?
Tributaries.
The tributaries. The branches of a river.
Yeah, right.
The branches of a river. Al yer befalgos, he will not see the branches of the river. Nahare, nachale. These are two words which mean the same thing, which means the tributaries, these branches of the river. A nahar and a nachal, a spring and a river, which flows with dvash, honey, vichema, and the cream. Cream in Tanakh, chema, we translate things butter, right?
Yeah.
But I think in biblical Hebrew it means cream.
Actually,
chaylev
is cream.
It's chaylev is chaylev chitim. Okay, so either it means butter or it means cream, chema. This
doesn't flow, so it makes more sense.
To cream?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know. It just sticks in my mind. I remember reading somewhere an essay, an article that in Tanakh. Tanach chemo always means cream. It does not mean, magmar in Hebrew means butter. And here it says that this Russia will not see the good that this world has to offer, which is described as a land, Eretz is a land that zavas cholav udvash. So here it means he's not going to see dvash v'chema, the honey and the chema and the cream. Accordingly, let's see in the mitzvah, this pasuk gitzayin, al yere, lo yere limtsots, this Russia will not witness to see the sucking of the palgus, the tributaries of Shalnohar Dvash, a river that flows with honey, the chema, kim eres anachash yimtsos, instead he's going to suck the poison of a snake, ratzalaymar, yere o, lo yere od betoiva, he will no longer see good kim esaro yikabel, he will only receive evil. According to Rashi, spooky Rashi, Rashi pasuk yitchet says, yitzayin the palgus narid Nahare Nachle Gan Eden Hamisukin Kidvash Vichema. The Rosha will not merit to come to the Olam of Gan Eden. Okay, so scary stuff over here that we're describing, at least going to Rashi, that the Rosha is going to die, he's going to suffer, he will not witness to have Gan Eden. Pasuk Yudches Neshiv Yoga V'lo Yivla, he will have no choice at the end of his life or his children to return Yoga. Yoga means the effort. Yigias Kapecha Kisocha Lashrecha V'tovlach. Yoga means your toil. He will have to, you know, whose toil? Those poor people that he exploited. Those people who work below minimum wage, he exploited their toil. The day will come when he will have to return the theft. V'lo yivla, he will not be permitted to absorb what he has stolen. Kichel, equivalent to the theft, the money that he has stolen will be Timura, so will be the exchange. He will have to repay them exactly what he has taken from them. You have to say a lot of words in the puzzle. One more time in the puzzle inside. Neshiv Yoga, he will have no choice but to return Yoga, the toil of those people that he exploited. Velo Yivla, he will not be permitted to enjoy the theft, to absorb the theft in his own bank accounts. And Kechel, according to what he has stolen, the wealth, Timurasa will be the exchange, what he returns to his victims. Pasuk Yichas Nemesudos, Neshiv Yaga, Bal Karchach, against his will, Yihye Neshiv, he will return Yigioi Shel Chavero, the effort, the toil, the labor of his friend, Masha Gozal Mimen, what he stole from them, Velo Yivla Oiso, he will not be permitted to absorb it. What does it mean to absorb it? It means L'Hachaziko Li'atzno, to keep it for himself. Kichel Tumuroso, you have to add a lot of words to explain this. These two words, kishiur, equivalent to the measure, to the amount, ha'oishar, the wealth that he has stolen, kain yihye tumuras, so that is what he will have to repay. Rotzal leimar, kain yihye shir ha'oini, his poverty. So I told you what is the return tumuras. I told you in different interpretation, which means he'll have to return, he'll have to make restitution. But here he's saying over here is that he's going to suffer the same, just like he caused others to suffer tumuras. So his suffering will be equal to the suffering he brought upon other people. Okay, this is very powerful words. So, you know, talking about in modern times. Well, Mida Kenegi Mida. Mida Kenegi Mida. What he calls others, he's going to suffer. And in today, modern times, it's very frightening. We live in a world where all of the products and that we enjoy are a product of of exploitation. I mean, I don't want to shoot from the hip, but we know that in different countries throughout the world, there are people that are child labor, and the pay is we read about the different articles. It goes on in South Korea and North Korea and China and in third world countries. People who make the smartphones. Do you know how much they make? What kind of conditions they have? Everyone here in America that's sitting on a smartphone how much labor it's not so simple. And here it's saying over here, that's what it alludes to over here, these various pesukim. Pasuk. Oh, I left out two words. Velo yalos. Okay, there are two words I left out in this pasuk. I'm going to end the pasuk. Kehel to Muraso. Velo yalos. Yalos means he will not rejoice. Alois Lashon Metzudo Sion says, Yismach, he will not rejoice over his success. Chen Ya'alois, with a tzadi. When you have a tzadi, then we all can relate the word means to rejoice. But here we have an unusual situation where we exchange a samach with a tzadi. Ya'alois V'ya'alois, ki zayin samach shin reish tzadi mischalef. In the world of Jews, you can exchange these words. And then Mitzvah 7 says, Lo yalos, lo yismach od ki lo yachzol et kadmuso. This Rashi will not rejoice, he will not return to his former state of success. Rashi, Pasuk Yuches Meshav Yiga, Hagezel Shagazel, the theft that he has stolen, Kichel Tumuraso, Kasher Tia Tumuraso, Lechel Nechosim Gedolim, O Yivienu Chisaron. According to So will be kasher tiyat tumura. So will be his exchange. Lechel nechasim gedolim, according to the wealth of great assets, oz yivienu chisaron, that will be his what is lacking. The same equivalent to what his great success will now be his downfall. V'lo yalos, bo, he will not rejoice in the theft. V'chein yalos, v'chein yalots, shaloshtan mischalfos, these three words all are the same. We just changed the zayin we changed a zayin and a samach and a tzadi. Ke pasik yutes, ki ritzatz ozav dalim, bayis gozal v'lo yivineu. Why will he suffer? Why will this person not rejoice? Why will this person suffer the tumurasa? Why will his exchange, will he suffer equivalent to his success? Because his ritzatz. Ritzatz means he crushed. Ozav dalim, he abandoned the poor. Instead of assist them, come to their benefit, he abandoned them. Bayis gozal, he stole their house, he stole their lives. V'lo yivnehu, and he did not build it. Let's see, Mr. Pasuk Yates. Ki rotzatz ozav dalim, kasher rotzatz adalim, when he crushed the poor people, oz ozvam, that's when he abandoned them. V'lo koidem haritzitza, and not before the ritzitz, not before, bayis gozal, gozal mehem bayis, asher lo bonehu, v'loi omal bo. He stole from them a bayis, asher lo bonehu, v'loi omal bo, which he did not toil. He took away their property. V'loi means he did not build. He stole from them their homes, which he, the Rasha, the Gazlan, did not build. And therefore, he is deserving of great punishment. Rashi, Pasik Yutes, Ki Rotzatz Ozav Dalim, La'achar Sherotzatz Es Hadalim, after he crushed the poor, Ozav Hadalim, he abandoned the Dalim, V'nitrad Mina Olam, V'holach Lo, and he went away. Okay, so according to Rashi, it's not like the Mitzudos. It means to say is that that ultimately, according to so far, the poor, the victims will receive, will get back what was theirs. So the meaning of the pasuk then is ki ritzatz, after he crushed them, after he crushed the poor people. Ozav Dalim, the Russia dies. He leaves them. He leaves this world. And when he leaves this world, they at that point in time, they come back and they take back what was stolen. I don't know how he is at the end of the Pasuk. One more time, let's see Pasuk Yates one more time in Rashi. La'acha sherotzatz es Hadalim. After he crushes the poor, Ozav Hadalim, he abandons them. V'nitrad min ha'olam, and he leaves the world. V'holach lo, okay, he leaves the world. And they come back and they take back what was stolen from them. Kiwitzatz.
Loved after. Maybe after he leaves the world, they come with tinnitus. You know,
Vehem choyzmim simli in this world. Liachash sheritzatz es hadalim, ozav hadalim, he abandons them. What does it mean he abandons them? So Rashi explains. V'nitrad min olam, he dies. And at that point in time, the poor demand justice. V'holach lo, he leaves. Vehem choyzmim, the poor people, they return. V'goyvim imenu gizei loisav, they return. And they demand from the Rasha restitution. Or from the family. Kiritzatz, so he explains here, kisheritzatz, I mean, kisheritzatz.
He's always learning that it's Eilam HaBa. That's what he learned before.
Okay,
so
Gan Eden.
After he dies in Eilam HaBa, they come and they hold the cheshbon with him.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Well, maybe in this world. Maybe after he's no longer present. So.
If assuming that means he died.
Yeah.
They come back.
The heim choyzim. Once the rosh is no longer present, is no longer present. Then they have an opportunity now to come and demand
so
back.
They come and give him
from the children.
Yeah.
They come from the children. They go to the society. Until now, this person was preventing them from
children.
Well, no, he said before they do have children. The Rasha does have children. He said over here in the previous parak, Bonav Yiratsu Dalin.
He's applying it to Eve. You're a big Rasha, you stole it.
Okay, so maybe he goes to government.
He's going to get it back at the... He doesn't believe it.
Okay, maybe he's going to people in the government. There are people still that are out there that... Okay, one or the other. Kiritzatz. Over here, the Rashi, the next words of Rashi is Kiritzatz, means Kisheritzatz. All Rashi over here is telling us over here, when it's over here, Ritzatz, you have to wear the shin. You can't translate the word literally. It means Kiritzatz, means Kisheritzatz. When the Rasha destroys, crushes the poor, then, so on, we continue the Pasek, ultimately, Ozav Dalim, Bayis Gozal, he stole their house, V'lo Yivineu, he stole their house, which he did not build. So just adding, this second Rashi, just adding in the Chof, Kisheritzitz, Kamo, Kiyelohem, Davar, Boilai, Kisheyihiyelohem. We find this the way you have to translate the word in this context. Okay, Pasek Chof, Kilo Yoda, Sholev, Bividno, Bachamudo, Lo Yimale. This Rasha did not know that peace would be in his stomach. Bechamudo lo yimale, what he desired would not escape. Now, what does this mean? Let's see, pasuk chav, so hard pasuk. Ki lo yada. Al. Ki lo yada shalva bebitno. This Rasha does not know peace. Ki bitno hoysa tamid chosra misviya. The reason why over here is seemingly, Sefer is trying to psychoanalyze the Rasha. Why does the Rasha have such a desire to steal? It's because the Rasha is never satisfied. He feels no satisfaction in this world, and he feels the only way he'll be satisfied is by taking away from other people and filling up his own stomach. Al ki lo yoda shalva bebitno, because the Rasha does not know peace in his beten. Ki bitno hoisa tamid chasera misviya. The beten, the stomach of a Rasha, is always lacking from satisfaction, and therefore he has a need for oshak. He robs, he steals, lemaloisa, to fill up his stomach, lezeh lo yimoleit ma b'kol chemdas osho, from this he will not escape, lezeh lo yimoleit ma, he will not escape from the punishment, b'kol chemdas osho, due to the desire for his wealth, ki hakol yovar, because all will be lost, nothing will remain from his evil deeds. Let's see, look at the Rashi. Rashi, he's talking about Eve. He's not directly calling Eve the Rasha, but according to the, but he's alluding, he's intimating that this all applies to you. The fact that you, Eve, are suffering means that you are a Rasha. Now you're finally getting, at this point in time in your life, what you really deserve. The basic idea is, he says to Eve, and he said it many times, is that there's no such thing as a Rasha v'tovla. Rishoyim ultimately get what they deserve in this world. So don't tell me that there is no Hashkocha Pratis. There is Hashkocha Pratis. Study world history. You will see that Rishoyim do ultimately are ultimately destroyed and nothing remains. And now he describes Rasha in many different types of expressions. Pasuk Chaf in Rashi, ki lo yada es bitno me'olam sholef. His beten never had satisfaction. Bitno oimeloi tamo. What does this mean? His beten never had satisfaction, never had peace. Sholef means peace. Bitno oimeloi tamid. A person's beten, his bank account, is always telling him, fill me up. Gizol, steal, v'hove l'mal'eni, and bring me the object of your theft and fill me up. A person always has the rush, always has desire. V'al'kein, and therefore, b'chamudo, and therefore do the basar b'chamudo, the basar yoyfi chemdaso, in his basar, the beauty of his desire, lo yimolet, he will not escape, ki yehe poiches v'hoilech, therefore he will continuously suffer, v'doyme lo v'tomas ka'as chamudo, it will turn into a maggots, chamudo his basar. Chamudo here he says means bebasar. Chamudo is b'chamudo lo yimalit. His basar will not escape from. I'm not really sure what this means.
Is
a maggot, a worm. So here, we want to show here the word chamudo here means basar. We find in that pasuk it means basar. Oh, you know what? Let's leave. We'll stop over here. We'll do this tomorrow again. Bli neder, this pasuk again. You going to Berlau? Who's going to Berlau? Okay.